Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. I'm chatting with Dave Erfley, founder and editor of the Junior Miner Junkie. Now Dave, as we usually do, we are going to focus on the precious metals, but there's a lot for us to talk about early on this year. Starting off with the pop that we saw in gold and silver and the underlying stocks. You see how much GDX and GDXJ went up just yesterday, all to start the year. And something you and I were talking about off mic is that this all happened in the face of the U.S. equity markets selling off throughout the day. Now, today, the markets have, for the most part, stabilized. Gold is moving up a little bit today, but that looks to be on the back of dollar weakness. Let's focus on yesterday, though, and that little bit of a divergence that we saw between U.S. markets, they moved down, and the precious metals and precious metals stocks, they moved higher. How important is that to note about yesterday's trading?
Oh, it's huge. Yeah, like we were discussing, I told my subscribers in an update last night that the $50 move up, the gap up $50 move in the gold price above its downtrend line was important, but more important was that disconnect, was people coming in to gold with the proceeds of selling their overvalued equities. You know, they were seeing gold as a safe haven asset again. You know, sure, the dollar is still moving lower towards that $88 target, but we really didn't see gold start to take off with that dollar weakness until recently. And seeing this dichotomy is huge. We see gold acting as a safe haven again. We see equities selling off and the gold stocks going higher as a result of that sell-off. That's huge because, you know, I can't tell you how many emails I get from, you know, these nervous speculators who feel that that the stock market is grossly overvalued, because it is, and they think that there's going to be another deflationary type crash, and it will take their gold stock profits with them. Well, yesterday's move kind of soothed those fears if this trend continues.
So one other thing that we should note is heading into, or I guess into the end of last year, we had silver and the silver stocks more specifically outperforming gold, although silver was also outperforming gold. And a lot of the bullish comments are saying whenever we see silver outperforming gold, that usually does result in the gold stocks playing a little bit of catch up. What are you going to be watching for the relationship right now between gold stocks and silver stocks?
Yeah, that was the case, and we've been talking about that for the past month or so. And yesterday's action proved that out. You know, the SIL ETF gapped up above its downtrend line and is close to its highs of August, while the SILJ quietly made a yearly close, a multi-year yearly close, a high close at the end of the year last week. But a lot of these silver stocks have really ran a lot. And I took some profits off of one of my silver positions yesterday that became 10% of my portfolio. So I think it might be a good time if you are a trader and to take some profit off some of these high flying silver stocks and put it into some gold plays, because there's still a lot of undervalued gold plays out there. As we're seeing the sector breaking out here.
So how are you judging what's undervalued right now? Because as far as I'm concerned, you look at some of these gold stocks and the high quality ones, even the high quality silver. Well, silver is a different story. It seems like all silver stocks are going up. But when it comes to gold stocks, the high quality gold stocks, those I'm seeing are already breaking out. Those have even surpassed some highs from last year and are at all-time highs. Well, we have some of the lower quality stocks. Those seem to continue to struggle. They're trading more in a range that is a fair bit off of some of their highs from last year. How are you balancing out where you're looking for gold stocks in terms of opportunities?
Yeah, I assume you mean the lower quality, meaning the companies that are more optionality plays that need a higher gold price. But yeah, those are still
ones that don't have maybe as much money in the bank or lower grade assets. There's a lot of reasons why they're lower quality, but the market is really showing us what's low quality now.
Right, exactly. That's true. And as far as the higher quality stocks, it's tougher to find It's tougher to find those that are on sale now, but you can find them, and they usually lie in jurisdictions that are not top tier jurisdictions. But these companies that are in top tier jurisdictions that are de-risking higher grade projects with blue sky potential, you know, those are already starting to break out. We're seeing investors move towards these juniors that have nearer term takeover potential. And we saw another takeout today, Agnico Eagle buying out TMAC, which the Canadian government snubbed a Chinese company previously trying to take out this company. I'm sure this takeover really isn't that much of a surprise, because Agnico Eagle is basically the only company in that jurisdiction and none of it that has proved it can successfully operate mines. And that Doris mine needs, I think, needs a $680 million upgrade infusion to get back going. But you know, these investors see the gold price now has made a three consecutive quarter close above 1800, and now the gold price has started the year with a breakout above its former all-time high at 1920. I think that $1,800 floor is starting to be priced in. So these juniors that are de-risking these projects that have done feasibility studies and PEAs at a gold price of $1,250. You know, these things look really, really attractive, and they're still very cheap when you price in an $1,800.
So how are you playing this then? Some of these guys need financings, and you are playing simply a, let's say, M&A type takeout. How are you balancing out some of these more advanced projects that maybe don't have that exploration upside to them?
Yeah, I just recently sold a company that had a very high market cap, and I did really well with it, but I didn't see it doubling from the market cap it's trading at right now. So I went ahead and took the profit and put it into an undervalued junior that is at the finance stage and that is about to get a finance package for their project. So I have rotated some money out of some of these juniors that, even though they're takeover candidates, I think there's better value elsewhere down the food chain. So you know, I've still got a handful of these companies that I'm holding, but I'm also trimming profits and looking at better valued projects maybe to rotate into. And I just did that recently.
So I think that's key. Are you rotating all of your profits back into the market? Because the way we started this year, even the way last year was, it does, or it has paid to be invested. So are you keeping that money in the market, or are you at least keeping some in cash?
Oh no, I have an investment rule, Corey. You know, I started this portfolio back in 2016 with all my savings. So my rule is to take out all realized capital gains at the end of each year. So since I started off with a very large investment total, I just go ahead and keep rotating my investment funds back into juniors, while I'm taking the realized capital gains out of the portfolio and putting them into my bank account. Because, you know, this, you know, I've been in this at this for almost 20 years now, and I've watched a lot of my hard-earned capital gains go by the wayside by holding on to them too soon. So I've pretty much designed myself to the fact that I've always got it in the back of my head to always be thinking about when I'm going to be taking profits. So I have a few investment rules that I stick by. The one is all realized capital gains are taken out of my portfolio by the end of the year. And another one is if a position becomes 10% of my portfolio, I will trim it. I will take some profits and trim it. And I try to get my investment capital out of the stock and let the rest of the stock ride, is basically house money.
Okay. So again, I think that is also a key lesson, is that you should be taking at least some profits as everything is going up, because the sector can reverse quite quickly. And it's always a good thing, I think, to lock in some profits, even if you miss a little bit more upside. There's always other opportunities out there as well. So everyone needs their own rule, though. But you have yours and you stick to it. I enjoyed reading over some of your year-end issues of what you were sharing with your subscribers and some of the different portfolio allocations that you have now moved into. Dave, great chatting with you, buddy. I will post a link to your website, the Junior Miner Junkie, where everyone can get some more information on your newsletter. Thanks for your time, Dave. Chat with you next week.
Thanks, Corey. Look forward to it.